Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by the one and only Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we get another day closer to Packers-Cowboys Sunday afternoon, AT&T Stadium, 3:25 p.m. Central Time kickoff. I guess you'd say right now, with regards to the Packers' health situation and the injury report, there's some cautious optimism as to where the team is headed. At the time we're recording this episode, the Packers have had their practice on Wednesday, but have not yet practiced in pads on Thursday. But with regards to Wednesday's practice, everybody on the roster, with the exception of linebacker Joe Thomas, who's dealing with an ankle injury, was out at practice doing at least something in a limited capacity. And that's a heck of a lot better situation than the Packers were in just a week or two ago.
Yeah, it really is, Mike. The three things that stood out to me the most with this, number one, Davante Adams actually being able to practice, remains in the concussion protocol, again, as the time of which we're taping this. But the fact that he was able to get out there with his teammates after such a scary incident, you know, 5-6 days earlier, a really big plus for him. Jamal Williams, the running back, actually was a full participant, which you usually gauge a player's participation in the game probably more off that Thursday practice when they get in pads. But the fact that Williams was able to go through everything after sustaining that knee injury and leaving against the Bears and not returning, a big plus for him. And then lastly, I think Devon House, getting him back from the quadricep injury, having him be able to go through some stuff with the individual groups and the portions of practice available to the media, all big positives for them. But ultimately, it really comes down to Brian Bulaga, David Bakhtiari, and a guy like Mike Daniels. They've practiced before in the past.
The big boys.
They've practiced, even a little bit last week. Now we'll see exactly if they could potentially be back in the cards for them this Sunday.
Yeah, and I think Thursday's practice and pads will definitely be a telltale sign. And not only that, but then as the coaches and the trainers like to say, it's always that day after when you really work out, kind of go through a full speed, full pads type of workout, then how the injury responds and, 24, 48 hours later and whatnot, that will determine their playing status. But just the fact that we're even talking about them being back on the practice field is a positive sign at this point. Obviously, the weekend off, after the Thursday night game, did the team some good. And when you're talking about, these guys in the trenches, I jokingly call them the big boys, but when you're talking about players like David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, and Mike Daniels, you're talking about, three guys that you'd probably rank amongst the top, 15 players on the entire roster,
probably.
Maybe the top 10. Yeah, I mean, this is these are guys the Packers want to have back. All the credit in the world goes to the players who have picked up the slack in their absence. But the Packers, to be at their best, they need these big guys.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that, even a guy like Lucas Patrick had talked about when Lane Taylor moved out, they re-signed him for a reason. They extended David Bakhtiari for a reason. They extended Mike Daniels for a reason. These are the guys you build a football team around. And as credible and as admirable a job as Justin McCray, Patrick, Lane Taylor, Kenny Clark, and the defensive linemen have done helping the Packers get through that absence and still being 3-1 at this point is a testament to them. And I think it gives the Packers confidence that if they have to turn back to him again this season or even this Sunday, depending on what the availability is of those starters, they're going to be okay doing that. But the thing is that those are your guys. They're your guys for a reason. And you can see, especially with a guy like Mike Daniels on the defensive side of things, the leadership he brings, how he really sets the tone for a defense. And then David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga, arguably are in the conversation for the best tackle tandem in the NFL. So, again, we're going to have to see what the week unfolds, how things develop. But I think we talked about it in yesterday's episode, the Packers' ability to have that long weekend, to be able to come back, get healthy, I think is definitely going to do them some good.
Yeah, and we talked about the running back situation quite a bit on our last show. With regards to the cornerback situation, it's good to see Devon House back out there trying to get back into the swing of things after missing a couple of games here with a quad injury. The issue with Demaryius Randall was addressed in the locker room by Randall himself. Mike McCarthy, again, saying it's an internal matter, and Demaryius Randall said exactly the same thing. Said, I've got to grow from it. I've got to learn from it. It's time to move on. But that being said, a comment from Devon House really struck me as well, in that he was asked about the injury situation of the team in general as he gets healthy and he sees other veteran players starting to get a little bit healthier. The bottom line is this Packers team really hasn't had its full starting lineup on the field yet. Here we are heading into week 5.
Yeah.
the Packers, you know, want to get to where they can really show what they've got and find out what they have and what they can build on with the core players. And it's about time, hopefully, that all those guys are going to get out there.
Yeah, and it's you know, the intriguing side of it, Mike, is the combinations that you can work. You know, Devon House maybe being outside across from Kevin King, whom they kind of consider each other a little bit of a brother pairing there. You know, how you can use those safeties and in the defensive line rotations you can work. And obviously the pass rushing combinations with, you know, Nick Perry battling through that hand injury. All those things go so far into the playbook for Dom Capers and what he's able to call and how he's able to go about laying out a football game. A lot of adjustments on both sides of the ball right now, and you do commend the coaches for being able to make all those pieces work, but there really is no replication for your starters. And once you can get those guys back in, assuming whether it's this week, next week, or whenever, that is ultimately, I think, is what's going to carry them through the second quarter of the season.
Yeah, and one of those guys you mentioned that is back was back on the practice field is Devontae Adams, and right. I want to get to more of talking about him after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, you mentioned it in our opening segment, Devontae Adams back on the practice field on Wednesday on a limited basis, still officially in the concussion protocol as of Wednesday afternoon. But you talk about a development that has put a little bounce in the step of the teammates in the locker room, a smile on people's faces, because let's face it, the celebration after the Thursday night victory over the Bears was a bit subdued because there was a lot of concern as to exactly what was going on with Adams. He was taken to the hospital. The initial reports were positive, but one of those situations that you just never know. And a lot of his teammates, Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, and others, went to visit him in the hospital after the Bears game was over. And to see him back on the practice field on Wednesday was definitely a positive development.
Oh, it was huge. I mean, in so many ways for this Packers team, and to see him back, you know, laughing, smiling, joking around with teammates. Randall Cobb said that. I mean, there was a good contingent of Packer players that visited him in the hospital, and I think Aaron Rodgers said it was around 1, 2 in the morning after the game, with it obviously being a night game. And just to go in there and see him being himself, and then obviously being back when the team reported on Tuesday, he was here with the rest of them. And for him to get the clear go-ahead with the neck, as we saw, he was on the injury report with the concussion. Every single concussion is a serious matter. You have to go through the protocol. You have to get healthy. But the fact that that didn't say neck, the fact that that didn't say anything with the back, such a big positive for Adams. And we talked about everything that's on the line for him this year and the way he was trending after last season.
Yeah.
To see him get the opportunity to get back out there with his teammates, I think it really is priceless for these guys.
Yeah, and this is not a new situation, I guess you would say, for Adams. When you look back to last year, he took a bad hit, was taken off the field. And not only did he come back the following week, but that was actually for a Thursday game on a short week, and then he ended up with double-digit receptions, over 100 yards, and a couple touchdowns against the Bears in that Thursday night game last October. So everybody's seen this before from Devontae Adams. That didn't diminish the concern that there was at the time, because certainly what happened this particular Thursday night against the Bears was a different situation. But I don't know. Some guys maybe just have a genetic God-given power to heal quickly or something. You know, I don't know what to make of it exactly. But Devontae Adams looks like, you know, nothing happened, I guess, which is an incredibly positive thing to be able to say, given what we all saw.
Yeah, and whenever Adams does talk, to those who don't know, if you're in the NFL concussion protocol, you're not available to the media during that until you are cleared. So we don't exactly know what he was thinking or what this experience has been like. It's, you know, his story has been told mostly through the eyes of his teammates.
Yeah, that he was arguing with the doctors to let him out of the hospital so he could go home. But other than that,
right? And the fact of the matter is, like Jordy Nelson alluded to, he was in the meetings, he's talking, he's a part of the game preparation. There's so many things that go into that. But as Aaron Rodgers mentioned too, I mean, to even see him doing that, Rodgers, he said, I mean, going back to his days at Cal Berkeley, there was, you know, really significant, scary incidents there that happened. And then you look at, you know, Terrence Murphy, you know, JerMichael Finley, even this, you know, past training camp with Malachi Dupree getting stretchered off the field, it really leaves a hole in your stomach because you don't know how to react to it. I was talking to a couple guys, Corey Lindsley included, about this. Once Adams was exited the field, you really don't know how to react. Do you get pumped? Do you try to lift up your brother? Do you try to, you know, give a little more? Jordy Nelson, I think, said it best. I mean, you try to move on, you try to play the football game, but as soon as that team went back to the sideline, you're thinking about it. So with all of that worry and all that concern throughout the weekend, to see him back here, as I said, I mean, I think that was a big sigh of relief for this team to have their brother back with them.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you rattled off some of the names that Rodgers had talked about. Terrence Murphy was a member of his draft class in 2005, was a fellow rookie with Rodgers back then. There was JerMichael Finley. There was Nick Collins in 2011.
Even last year, also was a part of Rodgers' draft class.
Right, another member of Rodgers' draft class there. And even when you look at last year, and was this as an example of these situations where you just never know, Sam Shields leaves the field in Jacksonville with a helmet hit and a concussion, and he hasn't been back on an NFL field since then. So you just never know how these situations are going to go. And so to see Davante Adams back so quickly and so energetically, I'm sure he's going to be doing whatever it takes to try to pass the concussion protocol and be cleared to play on Sunday in Dallas. But everybody's really happy for his health.
Yeah, and Rodgers and Nelson both talked about this. It's one thing to have him back in the locker room. That's the first and foremost thing, just to have him walking around smiling and being himself. The second thing, and whenever it comes, it happens, is, you know, him being back on the football field. You have to get healthy. You have to be, you know, get through that protocol so it's safe for you to return to the field. But it is. It's such a breath of fresh air, so to speak, that they're able to even have this conversation this week about whether or not Davante Adams could potentially play in this game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, an interesting question. We've been getting it in our insider inbox and something that that we've even been talking about off camera a little bit. And that's, you get through the first quarter of the NFL season, you have four games in the books. You start to wonder maybe exactly what the identity is of a team. And when you're talking an Aaron Rodgers team, it's usually about the offense. What's the offensive identity of the 2017 Green Bay Packers? And quite frankly, there isn't one right now because of all the injuries this team has dealt with. There have been injuries at wide receiver, at running back, at offensive line, as we've documented week after week here. So really, and as we kind of talked about earlier in the show as well, the Packers don't necessarily know what they have and who they are yet in 2017, at least on the offensive side of the ball. I'm really curious to see, once this whole starting unit gets out there, exactly how it functions and what it might be able to accomplish.
Yeah, I don't know if you were played with Erector sets at all when you were little. I did a lot. So you might have this big, idea of what you can do with it. But, the pieces work that you can build smaller, different variations of buildings or animals, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what this has been like. The Packers know what their menu looks like. They've just had to reshape it to really make it fit with what personnel they've had on a given week. You can go back through all, four of these first games. Everything's been different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the strategies and everything. And some of that has had to do with the opponent. Some of it has just had to do with who's been available. But as Aaron Rodgers kind of alluded to, there's a lot of stuff that they still have in their hat that they just haven't been able to pull out yet because you just don't have all those pieces.
Right.
And maybe you could make do with one tackle, or maybe you can make do with, your running back being out. But it's really, for a lot of different occasions, it's been missing a running back, missing the two tackles, missing a receiver with Randall Cobb, missing some time with that chest injury. That makes it difficult order to figure out what your identity is. Now, it's an NFL season. It's 100% contact rate. Guys are going to get hurt. So, you have to be versatile. You have to be flexible in what you're going to do. And sometimes you might just never get the opportunity to put everything on film. But the thing is, and as Rodgers said, to be 3-1 at this point and to still have that many tricks up their sleeve, I think the Packers offense is really relishing that.
Yeah, the you look at the early stages of the season, this particular season, and it's been every week about just find whatever it takes to get the job done, figure out what you know, whatever it takes to win. Now, that's a mantra in the NFL on a week-by-week basis. You're always just going to find what it takes to win. But along the way, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, the way Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers have operated over several years, it's also about finding those things you can hang your hat on, finding those things that in certain situations, this is what we can go to because everybody's confident, right, because the execution is there, everybody knows exactly what to do in a clutch situation. And the Packers just haven't had an opportunity to develop those hang-your-hat-on type of things offensively yet. Now, it's still early. There are 12 regular season games left. There's a lot of time. There's still a full bye week here coming up in a few weeks to get perhaps some more guys healthy if that's necessary at the time. But I'm just very curious to see what identity now starts to develop with this Green Bay offense if indeed everybody is getting healthier.
Well, at the start of the season, one of the things I really looked for with this offense was seeing how they were going to, you know, intermix what they have now at the tight end position and the, you know, the three tight ends and the depth and experience they have there, how many games all those guys have started, having as many receivers as they have, Geronimo Allison fitting into that, the downfield potential of a Jeff Janis or a Trevor Davis, obviously the multitude of options they have in the backfield.
Right.
To see when you have all those weapons, have them all lined up, nice and pretty, to see exactly what Mike McCarthy decides to do and how they can go about really keeping a defense on its heels, trying to understand and, you know, prepare for the different combinations they can work. We've seen some of it. You've seen how the Packers can split out, you know, with Ty Montgomery in the background. You can empty the backfield there. You can take a guy like, you know, Lance Kendricks or Martellus Bennett, flank them outside, you know, make it so you don't know exactly if you're a defense what personnel combination. You obviously see the 11 guys, but how the Packers are going to use them. Those are all things that I think once we get into the rhythm of a season, I think are really going to show themselves, because from one down to another, with all the weapons they have, especially at those skill positions, they really can, you know, work a lot of different combinations.
Yeah, and the bottom line is when you look at these last two games, as we've talked about before, for everything the Packers have been dealing with injury-wise, lineup shuffling, all of that, they've scored 62 points in the last two games.
Right.
And it just really makes you wonder what is possible, what is on the horizon when all of the regulars are out there and finding their rhythm and functioning and working together.
Yeah, and I will imagine this too. We talk about the skill position players. David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga have a lot to do with that in terms of what Rodgers is able to do in the pocket. So, again, things will have to just wait and see.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, something we haven't touched on really in depth, at least yet this week, and that's the Packers' very interesting history in the relatively young life thus far of AT&T Stadium in Dallas. You have a victory in Super Bowl 45 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have a comeback from a 26-3 halftime deficit with Matt Flynn at quarterback in 2013, a victory that kept your playoff hopes alive at the time. And then you have the down-to-the-wire last-second field goal, 34-31 NFC divisional playoff victory last January, with the Cowboys being the number one seed and having home field advantage in the NFC playoffs. Kind of remarkable that this is what has developed after what we saw of Green Bay's history at Old Texas Stadium, which included those three straight playoff losses in the 90s, a couple, at least one or two losses on Thanksgiving Day. I remember one time Sterling Sharp had three or four touchdown catches, and it still wasn't enough to win on Thanksgiving down in Dallas. You had the 2007 game, which was actually my only trip in this position with the Packers. My only trip to Texas Stadium, Brett Favre gets injured, Aaron Rodgers comes off the bench, tries to lead a comeback, comes up a little bit short. They couldn't win that one at Old Texas Stadium either. But since the new stadium has been built, it's been pretty friendly to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they've definitely made up for lost time with what they've been able to do in AT&T Stadium. And I don't know exactly what it is, because you've been in that atmosphere. Obviously, the Super Bowl is a different matter because you have your home crowd there, you know, mixed with what the Steelers fans had. But I mean, it's a volatile environment for what you deal with. I mean, that playoff game, for as loud and rambunctious as it was, this past January. For the Packers to get off to the start they did was remarkable.
Yeah.
But Rodgers even mentioned, though, too, I mean, there's a lot of guys on this team now that's really, as much success as they've had, that's kind of the only experience they've had so far. There's only six guys left from the Super Bowl now. There's a handful, you know, probably about, what, two dozen players, I think, probably left from that 2013 team with Matt Flynn. So a lot of guys, that was their first taste of it, with it being such a young roster. And if you're going to go back and look at it, the Jared Cook catch, the Mason Crosby field goals, it's a pretty good experience to kind of build off of, for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, at least, you know, you talk about all the turnover year over year in the National Football League. There is obviously a large chunk of this roster that experienced that playoff game last year, because even just walking into that building and seeing, you know, the big video boards hanging over the center of the field and just the sheer size of the place. I mean, you know, the joke that, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. Well, in this case, I mean, that's physically like the largest cavernous, you know, most cavernous type of stadium I think I've ever been in.
Yeah.
The place is just enormous. And so at least the bulk of this roster has the experience of what it's like to play there, what it's like to walk in there. And you're not going to get any more hostile environment, a hostile crowd than a playoff game when the Cowboys had a 13-3 season. So the Packers at least have that working for them from an experience and a psychological standpoint.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to give them a run for their money in terms of the large cavernous area. But it still is a really interesting environment. I remember watching a lot of the rookies and first-year players just looking up at that screen when they walked in for warm-ups last year. Interesting thing about this contest, though, for the Cowboys, last year they were the division, you know, they were the champions, NFC North or NFC, you know, conference number one seed. This year they're 2-2. They need a win. So seeing how they react to it now is going to be something that I think is going to be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that, we're going to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.